Close your eyes. Imagine this. You're a child, no younger than 10 years old. You decided to flee from your home country, Myanmar, where they tormented, harassed, and assaulted you, all because of your religion, Muslim. You've been shot 3 times, on your calf, arm, and armpit, by a soldier in close range. It's been 6 months, and you're still in pain. You've decided it's too dangerous to go back to Myanmar, so Bangladesh is your home now. The soldiers shot your parents, and you're an only child, so you're alone, doing this on your own. This is exactly what happened to Ashida Begum at just 9 years old. But it's not just her. There are hundreds and thousands just like her, fleeing Myanmar, looking for safety. The Rohingya people live in the state of Rakhine in Myanmar. Rakhine used to be an independent state, but they were conquered by the Myanmar king and became a part of Myanmar in 1784. The majority of people in Myanmar are Buddhists, but the Rohingya people are Muslim due to influence from Arab traders. The violence against Rohingya first broke up in 1975 when the Rohingya were seeking to create an independent Muslim state. The government cracked down on the revolt, and more than 212,000 civilians ran away from their only home, hoping to find a newer and safer one. Since then, there has been an ongoing crisis, and many flee to Bangladesh in the hope that Bangladesh will be a safer place for them to stay. The treatment of Rohingyas in Myanmar is brutal. The civilians are forced to change their religion from their traditional Muslim to become local Buddhists. Families' huts are burnt down, leaving them homeless for days and weeks. Innocent civilians were assaulted or shot by militants and soldiers. When girls or women were being smuggled out of the country, they'd be raped and sexually assaulted. They're being denied their own basic human rights. Since 1982, if you identified as a Rohingya, you would not be considered a legal citizen of Myanmar. In parts of Bangladesh, they are welcoming the Rohingya refugees with open arms. They even put out welcoming posters, contrary to what happened in 2015 in Europe. Over 500,000 Rohingya live in refugee campsites, primarily in Bangladesh. At the refugee campsites, there have been put up a separate civilian authority to handle the crisis. The Bangladeshi government sent down soldiers from their military to manage and keep peace at the refugee campsites. The Rohingya refugee situation has become an international crisis because of the scale of their mistreatment. The international community call the crisis a genocide, but can we really define this crisis as a genocide? The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines genocide as the deliberate and systematic destruction of a racial, political, or cultural group. Are people informed enough of this crisis? Does the international community simply turn a blind eye to the refugee situations? These questions have been brewing around in my mind, wondering why we aren't taking action. That is why I brought a neutral and random civilian in to be interviewed regarding her knowledge of this dire crisis. Her name is Charlotte Hansen. She's 48 years old. Would you, as a news consumer, read articles specifically about the Rohingya refugee crisis?
I would read it if it involved news about, for example, Thailand or the region of in Asia, because I used to live in Thailand. So I think I would choose to read it if it was somehow relevant to me and the situation I was in, like if it talked about how Thailand deals with the crisis.
Charlotte, the interviewee, states that she is more likely to read a news article that can in some way relate to her, which is applicable to other people. Do you think that we as global citizens become distanced or desensitized to news of human suffering and avoid following of these news?
Yes, absolutely. I do feel a bit cold, and I do feel that I select or skip through many pieces of news of human suffering, which sounds really terrible.
And why do you think that is?
I think we do it because it can be overwhelming, the amount of news every day, and I feel that I cannot change the specific situation anyway. So if I feel that I can't do anything, then it probably feels easier to deselect that news.
Based on this segment of the interview, we can determine that even if people as consumers felt empathy and somehow guilty of their situation, they wouldn't know how to help with the crisis, most likely bringing up the idea or disbelief of how can just one person help with the crisis? I think we can all agree that something needs to be done. Campaigns need to be popularized, donations need to be made, and peaceful protesting needs to take place. We have to educate people, not only on this crisis, but on how they can help. With that said, it's time to end this podcast episode with Frida Hansen. Thank you for tuning in, and I urge you, get yourself educated. Read an article or two regarding the Rohingyas. Thank you.